A reading from the first book of the Kings. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. God said, "Ask something of me, and I will give it to you." Solomon answered, "O Lord, my God, you have made me, your servant, king, and to succeed my father David. But I am a mere youth, not knowing at all how to act. I serve you in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a people so vast that it cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge your people and to distinguish right from wrong. For who is able to govern this vast people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon made this request. So God said to him, "Because you have asked for this, not for a long life for yourself, nor for riches, nor for the life of your enemies, but for understanding, so that you may know what is right, I do as you requested. I give you a heart so wise and understanding that there has never been anyone like you up to now, and after you there will come no one to equal you." The second reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, we know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. The Gospel reading is from St. Matthew chapter 13, the shorter version of today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it." Solomon is remembered for his wisdom, and because of this reputation, most of the wisdom literature of the Bible is attributed to him. For him, the pearl of great price, the treasure hidden in the field of this world, was the wisdom and understanding needed to govern well. The Lord is pleased with his request and gives him a heart that is wise and understanding. The person who finds the treasure hidden in a field is, Jesus tells us, filled with joy. He is transformed, his life radically changed, as he goes and sells everything in order to buy the field. The merchant is in a different situation, since his job is to look for pearls. He spends his life searching and eventually finds one of great value. We are not told about his joy, but we can presume it as he too goes, sells all he has, and buys the pearl. In one case, we're told that the kingdom of heaven is like the treasure. In the other case, we're told that the kingdom is like the merchant searching. So the kingdom is in the relationship between people and something of great value that gives them joy and becomes the exclusive focus of their lives, their obsession. It might come their way fortuitously or as a result of long searching. Either way, it becomes the exclusive focus of their lives from that moment onward. So God became the exclusive focus of Moses' life after his encounter with him in the burning bush. So too for David and for Solomon, who in spite of their many other distractions and weaknesses, remained focused on the Lord and his intentions for his people. Even more so was the Father the exclusive focus of the life of Jesus from the earliest moment of his existence. We are left with questions about the man who found the treasure and the merchant searching for pearls. What did they want these riches for? Solomon's request makes sense for a man in his position. For the treasure finder and the pearl seeker, it seems that it was enough for them to possess such great wealth. with the treasure of the kingdom, or the treasure entrusted to Moses by God, or the wisdom entrusted to Solomon by God, or the mission entrusted to the apostles by Jesus, we have the words of the scriptures to teach us why the kingdom is the treasure hidden in the field and the pearl of great price. They teach us why the kingdom is worth searching for. It is because it means life for human beings, the fullness of life for human beings, eternal life for human beings. Knowing the Father and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, this is eternal life, says Jesus at the beginning of his priestly prayer in John's Gospel. The law and the prophets and the writings are worth exploring, valuing, studying, and putting into practice, because the words of the scriptures are the field in which we search for the treasure. Why search there? Someone might ask. With Peter, we can reply, where else can we go? The scriptures are all about Jesus, and it is he who has the words of eternal life. It might seem as if, unlike Solomon, I am suggesting that we should ask something for ourselves when God says to us, ask something of me. Life, the fullness of life, eternal life. But no, because the life being spoken about, the life involved here, the life which comes through the Spirit of Jesus, is a life which is all for the other, is all for the ones we come to love. It is our deepest satisfaction. It is our deepest joy. But it is also all for the other, all for the ones we come to love. As the Father loved Jesus, and Jesus loved the Father, so we are to enter into this eternal life, this life of love, which is the life of the Blessed Trinity. So to seek this treasure, to seek this pearl, this life, this fullness of life, this eternal life, is not simply to be seeking something for ourselves. It is, yes, the place where we find our deepest joy, our deepest happiness. But it is that because it is the place where we find love, where we learn how to love, where we learn how to open to the other and include and bring in the other into our lives as well, the ones we have come to love. Where else can we go? The scriptures are all about Jesus, and it is he who has the words of this eternal life.